before 1986. Laptops, smartphones, debit cards, DVDs, come and gone. Pay at the pump gasoline. Digital cameras, now replaced by phones in every pocket. Viagra, flat screen TVs, the internet, streaming services, blogging, web commerce, Amazon, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, electric cars, artificial intelligence, the ongoing sexual revolution with so-called same-sex marriage and so-called transgenderism, the overruling of Roe v. Wade and the ongoing battle for the unborn, and who but God knows what revolutionary events and inventions will happen between my speaking these lines and your reading them. In other words, things have changed. This is the world I live in, with profound appreciation and serious concern. But as personally astute and as culturally awake as I try to be, what seems plain to me is that the really important, deep, and lasting things in life have not changed and will never change. And therefore, my commitment to the message of this book has not changed. The truth that I unfold here is my life, that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. That truth continues to be a spectacular and precious truth in my mind and heart. It has sustained me through my eighth decade of life, and I do not doubt that because of Jesus, it will carry me home. Along the way, I added a chapter called Suffering, the Sacrifice of Christian Hedonism. The reason was partly biblical, partly global, and partly autobiographical. Biblically, it is plain that God has appointed suffering for all His children. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. Globally, it is increasingly plain that a bold stand for the uniqueness of Christ crucified, not to mention the finishing of the Great Commission among hostile peoples, will cost the church suffering and martyrs. If the message of this book is to have any credibility, it must give an account of itself in this world of fear and suffering. Increasingly, I am drawn to the apostles' experience described in the words, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Autobiographically, the years since the first edition of Desiring God have been the hardest. One of the older women of our church quipped to us at our 25th wedding anniversary, "The first 25 are the hardest." We have not found it to be so. We are well past the end of the second 25, and undoubtedly they were the hardest. The body ages, and things go wrong. Marriage, we found, passes through deep water as husband and wife pass through midlife.